Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we have Chicago Tribune cartoonist Scott Stantis with Deborah Vines. And it's National Burger Month, and we've got Chef Cooper from Michael Jordan's Restaurant coming live in studio with David Hochberg from the They Deserve More campaign, Mark McHugh with Beds Boswell. And don't forget to get your calls in for Tell Me Something Good at the end of the show. And now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, Illinois, here is your host, Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist and member of the editorial board for the Chicago Tribune.
Hey.
Deborah Vines, amazing superwoman. I get to be Wonder Woman, you get to be Superwoman.
Superwoman.
She is the CEO, executive director of The Answer. We were talking a little bit before the show started, Deborah, on the air with Justin Kaufman about how this is a program to help people find out what's next. Once our kids age out of school when they're 21 and they are cast off and without a safety net. And speaking of safety nets, today we learned that the House has passed a measure to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. It is not law. I think that a lot of people need to understand. I posted on my Facebook page all of the pre-existing conditions that are now included, and one of them, by the way, includes acne and sleep disorders. There's a whole list. You can go to Time Magazine if you Google their article. They have a piece about what now is considered pre-existing, which may preclude you from being able to secure insurance and or raise your rates significantly. To walk us through some of this, we have attorney Chris Kennedy and favorite of the show. Hey, Chris, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, Patty. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm guessing it was a long day for you going over what the House has decided to pass today. How's it looking?
Yeah, this, it's not surprisingly horrible. It reminds me of the old adage that whatever doesn't kill you, will probably try again.
So, Esmeralda just leaned back like, I don't think I like the way that sounds.
Yeah, so here we are again. This is ACHA 2. The first one, they did the same thing. They tried to pass it without getting it scored by the CBO, without giving anybody an opportunity to really air out some of the passages in it. And not surprisingly, they did the same thing. There's no CBO score. The old CBO score said 24 million people will lose health insurance, and that's probably going to be about the same with this one. A couple of things that are of particular concern to us in the special needs community, who have a child who has special needs, is the impact on Medicaid. And that one's quite bad, but it's not just people who qualify for Medicaid who are going to be in trouble on this. It is really going to impact just about everybody if it passes in the form that it's in. And the real hope right now is that this does not get through the Senate in anything like the form that it's in.
Just so people understand that what the CBO is, I think that because you and I, we know we use initials for things.
Yeah. The Congressional Budget Office is a nonpartisan body that comes up with their best estimates. There are economists and financial experts, subject matter experts, who this is their job, is to take a look at a piece of legislation and tell the world what they think it is likely to cost, and or what the impact, the practical impact, would be of a bill. So the score on the last bill said 24 million people lose health insurance. This bill, if anything, is just as bad, possibly even a little bit worse.
Who benefits from this plan then? Because people who voted for Donald Trump, by the way, when we spoke to President Trump supporters on Monday, we took 2 hours of phone calls, people walking us through their side of it, what they believe in, and almost all of it was immigration and terrorism, and not one person had called. And a lot of people said that they did vote for him, I guess, in polling. They wanted to repeal Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. But who does this help?
Well, according to, can I jump in?
Yes.
According to the Wall Street Journal, which, you know, that liberal bastion, the Wall Street Journal this afternoon, said that the really rich, the very rich, and the pretty rich are going to do okay.
Yes.
The ones who are going to be hurt are going to be the poor. You know who really gets screwed by this? I mean, mm-hmm. hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, without even being bought dinner, is people 64 years old.
And over. Yeah. I'm guessing that would be weird to have that one category, just 64. Yeah,
64 is when it gets critically, like, horrid.
Okay.
Yeah, but well, once you turn 65, you're eligible for Medicare. Right. So a lot of those things go by the wayside. But the biggest impact is people who are not rich and who are not perfectly healthy. And everybody, you know, who is rich, they're always going to be fine. But part of what Obamacare did was tax people above $250,000 and up, and actually it taxed more as it was higher. And use some of that funds to subsidize care for people who were less wealthy or who were poor. So it kept a system in place where private insurance companies can still remain profitable while covering more conditions and more people. And now, so after a lot of sabotage over the years, for example, some of the money that was supposed to be produced to fund some of the care from the federal government was cut off a couple of years ago, and that has caused harm to a number of different companies. But after all this sabotage to it, it still does work. And, you know, the people who are negatively impacted are, generally speaking, only the ones who are in the individual market in certain places.
Right.
So a lot of people complained, oh, they took away my health care policy. But that insurance policy didn't cover a lot of things. So you might have bought an insurance policy pretty cheap before the ACA, but it only covered certain things. So now essential health benefits are, that's the name for the many, many things that are put under there that an insurance policy has to cover. So a lot of people had insurance and then they would have a condition and find out, oh, that insurance doesn't cover me.
So if you didn't run, if you didn't run,
lifetime.
Right. So if you didn't run into the caps, or you didn't run into a condition or an injury that, you know, was going to push you past that limit on your insurance policy, you wouldn't know that you were covered in a way that then was ameliorated by Affordable Care Act. But what you felt and everyone experienced was the increase in premiums.
Right. Right. And that's the thing that's visible. So, but once you experience it and you're really up the creek. So, for example, you know, we had a policy. Our daughter was born. She has autism and epilepsy. She needed to get therapies. We had coverage for therapy, but it was capped at 20 hours a year. And the 20 hours were gone in about 2 weeks. So we were left paying the rest of it for the entire year. And that was a very common thing. And it really didn't matter which, you know, type of condition you might have, you were going to be capped arbitrarily. And it's not that 20 hours was some magical medical, you know, related thing. That was just what an insurance company had decided would be a profitable number to stop providing services at. So it's a small group of people that have had a negative impact to their premiums. And, you know, some of those cases are bad, but most of them aren't that bad. And, you know, they pay a little bit more, but they also get a lot more coverage. And here we're taking, you know, that fly is being met with a machine gun from the Republican House with this bill.
What happens next? Do they take this? So Congress will apparently take a look at this. Will they kind of dig in and either try to run it up the flagpole the way it is, or are they going to make adjustments to it so that it's more consumable?
Well, the hope is that the grown-ups in the Senate will take a harder look at this than the House did. The sticking points are really going to be in those states where, Kentucky is one where Medicaid was expanded and people had tremendous health benefits. There were many, many more people covered. And it was a huge success, mainly because they didn't call it Obamacare. They called it something else. But that's where Mitch McConnell is. And the question is going to be, how willing is he to cut all of those people off? And unfortunately, I'm afraid he is very willing to do that. And so are a lot of others. And, you know, people listening, you know, a lot of people listening now are in the Illinois, you know, suburban area. They only had four votes that made the margin in the House.
Right.
Five of those votes came from Illinois congressmen.
Here's your
Roskam, Kinzinger, Bost, Davis, and Holmgren.
And then on top of that, you have Shimkus from, I'm assuming, Southern Illinois. Shimkus, Kinzinger, and LaHood. Those were the representatives that all voted for the repeal and pullback on the Affordable Care Act.
Right. And, you know, some of them, you know, they know better. They know what this is going to do to their constituents. And
that's what I was, and, I was, go ahead.
Well, one of the comments was, you know, doing nothing wasn't an option. I think that was Holmgren said that. And that, you know, that really galls me, because if they had just done nothing for the last 6 years, like not cut the funding for the support to the individual market, it would be perfectly healthy. There wouldn't be any problems whatsoever. And if they didn't, you know, if they did nothing like stopped, you know, playing up things like death panels and all this other nonsense for the last 6 years, there certainly would have been a better public awareness of what the bill actually did.
Right.
But after 6 years of sabotage, now they're saying, well, we can't do nothing. So it is pretty galling. So think about it this way, too. Most people, you know, they don't know what is in their policies. So that's where you had situations before where people would buy something and then not get what they thought they were getting.
Right.
Now they finally get things that they thought they were getting, and they're mad about it, and they don't know because they've heard this steady stream of propaganda for 6 years.
Well, I need to jump in and just make it clear that Obamacare was far from perfect, and that there were pretty profound flaws in it. But you could have approached it one of two ways. You can do what they did today, or you can fix the problems. You know, I mean, and they were myriad. Let's be really honest about this. Insurance companies are dropping out like crazy. The overinsurance. I mean, my 28-year-old son has lactating insurance included in his health insurance. That's kind of thing is, but those are things that can be corrected. Those are things that can be fixed.
Chris? We have to go. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so, all right. So neither of those are really, you know, the main issues. And the insurance companies ran away because the risk corridor payments that were the money from the feds that were going to support the, you know, companies had to take on people with pre-existing conditions. That cost money. And if they're not taking in the premium yet, the first few years are going to be very lean. So that's why the feds had to kick in some money. The Republicans cut off the funding for that. That's why the insurance companies left that market. And not all of them did. Most markets are still competitive. There are at least a couple of providers in most of the markets. There are some where there's only one left. And, you know, that's a function of really partisan sabotage to the bill. And yes, there are flaws to the way it was implemented because it's a hodgepodge designed to support a private insurance, for-profit insurance for healthcare. So, you know, ultimately the solution probably should have been something different. But, you know, Republicans always forget that Obamacare was RomneyCare, which was the Heritage Foundation's proposal in the 90s to stop HillaryCare. So, you know, the whole thing was put into place as a means of protecting the private insurance market that Republicans wanted it to be. But because it was proposed by President Obama, it became the enemy. And so,
Chris, there's so much to do, and I have to run for a break. Can you join us sometime again next week?
Absolutely.
Excellent. I want to get more. I want to learn more about this and make sure that our listeners have a chance to consume what's going on and you know, have some ideas. We can all have a conversation, and we appreciate your time. Chris Kennedy.
You got it.
We'd love to talk to you.
Not the Chris Kennedy who's running for governor.
Not the Chris. Not that guy. Our guy.
No.
That's our guy.
Yes.
Have a great night, Chris. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You too, Patty.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk to Mark McHugh. Oh, no, not Mark. We're going to talk to Mark McHugh after midnight to talk about They Deserve More campaign. And in a little bit, we'll also have our friends from Michael Jordan's restaurant, Chef Cooper is in the green room. In the studio with me is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist and editorial board member for the Chicago Tribune. Scott Stantis.
Yes.
And Deborah Vines of The Answer, Inc. She is a super Wonder Woman mom.
You get all
the titles. Hello. You and I have two remarkable boys.
Yes, we do.
And you have become a force of nature. And you've created something that is helping families find out what's next after our kids age out of school.
Yes, it is The Answer Incorporated, and we are 10 years old this year.
Happy birthday to The Answer.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we provide support, resources, education, recreation, and advocacy for families impacted by autism and developmental disorders.
That was one of the things when I saw the list today, because Declan has never been diagnosed with autism. We do not have that. And it was interesting. We had a neurologist that he didn't urge us not to get it done because we could. We could have him diagnosed with autism. He didn't say why, and now I understood today why he didn't say anything. Autism is on the list of pre-existing conditions.
And that's scary.
It's very scary. Declan has, you know what? I'm not going to say it because I don't want people to send it to the representatives and say, hey, you missed one. You missed Patty's son's.
He actually missed several.
Yeah, there were several. I know. I was going through the list because Declan has a lot of disability issues. But how old was your son when you found out that he had autism?
Jason was 18 months old.
18 months old? That's so early to find out.
It was very early. And I think that I really hummed in on it because he just went totally away. He was reaching all the milestones that babies reach. And then all of a sudden, boom, he was just gone.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying.
Yeah, it was very scary. And what the scariest part, Patty, is that they didn't know what was wrong. We took him to several doctors before they said autism.
And he's older. How old is he now?
Jason's 29 now.
He's 29.
And when he was diagnosed, the statistics were 1 in 1,000.
Wow. So now, in his lifetime, you've seen such a catastrophic rise.
Yes.
In these numbers.
Yes.
What is it like to, from the inside, because I do you find that you're in the battle sometimes, so it's harder to take a step back and see how it's affecting not just your
every
family?
Day. Yeah. Every day, because on the average, Patty, I talk to about 10 to 12 families a day that are going through different challenges as it relates to schools, therapies, marriage. Family.
Oh, the divorce rate.
Yes.
It's over 82%.
82%. And I talked to so many single moms, and then the families that I talk to that are married, the dad is just checked out mentally because it's harder for men to accept things the way we do. You know, we get the diagnosis, we cry a little bit, laugh, get mad, and then we put our superwoman cape on and we just get to moving. So it's a lot different for men, but
I've worked with families as well who, because I don't want people to think that we're being dismissive of the roles that dads play.
Absolutely
not. The numbers are much higher. My husband, your husband are warriors.
Oh yeah.
And there's so many out there. I do know women whose husbands would take longer coming home from work.
Yeah.
And would avoid some of the family, outings and responsibilities that they had participated in.
Because they just couldn't deal with it.
And I think there's also this masculinity, this idea that this is something I can't fix.
Patty,
I think it's very hard for men.
That's it. You know what my husband says? He says, see, men are fixers.
Yeah.
And when they find out their child has a disability of any type, it's something that they can't fix. So they check out a little bit. My husband checked out for a while.
Yeah.
He checked out until Jason was about maybe 8. He checked out. You know, he's a great man, great husband, great provider, great man. But, certain things he just wouldn't deal with. And one day he came home, and I came home, and he was in the bed, and he was just rocking back and forth, and it hit him. My son has autism. My son. Oh. And now that's why he created a group just for men, so that they can get together and talk about the things that they're going through. They can just talk about nothing at all, but just to be together and have that synergy. They take their kids on outings without the wives, without the significant others, and it's helped them quite a bit.
That's great. That's an important program, and I know that you have a walkathon coming up this Saturday.
Yes, it is this Saturday, May 6th at Proviso West High School. We were on the going to be on the outside stadium, but I'm so happy to announce that we're going to be on the inside track, and it's just as big as the outside track.
Yeah,
we're going to have entertainment, dancers, food, fun. And we have this walkathon. It's our 8th annual to raise money to sponsor children and adults to horseback riding camp for an entire week, and also for our educational and recreational programs as well.
You, this is such a wonderful thing that you're doing for so many families. You said something last week when we were at the Arc of Illinois, because I think there are things that it's not that I give up on things, but you really made me shift my perspective back because we were talking a little bit about people not sending birthday presents for our sons because, like, I had a relative, one of my in-laws, we were getting ready for Declan's birthday. He was 5, and we were trying to find him in the house. We were like, oh, where's Declan? And she said, what difference does it make?
He doesn't know.
He doesn't even know it's his birthday. And I was appalled by that. But I think that there are moments where I may not say those things or even, like, you know, psychologically or consciously think those things. But I think I do kind of let things sort of slip away, you know, whether or not it is those big events, or making sure that people do recognize that Declan is like any other kid.
You know what? Sometimes I think we just get tired. We just get tired of the constant fight all the time. Jason is not a mouse in the room. He's the big elephant in the room. He can be seen. He's here. He's not invisible. And sometimes we just get tired of that fight all the time. And, you know, you get tired, but you just pick back up and you keep going. And that's why advocates are so important, to let people know that our children are here. They're not invisible. Autism is not going away. The numbers are rising each and every day. So we have to just keep people aware.
And people who do find that their family situation is affected by the diagnosis of autism, that there are places like
Deborah, the Answer Incorporated. Like, and you can call us at 708-296-5651 or visit us on the web at www.theanswerinc.org.
And are you going to Springfield anytime soon? Because I will be down there.
Yes, I am going to Springfield. I'll actually be there the 10th, 11th, and 12th because I sit on the Targeting Autism Board. Mm-hmm. And that is an organization through the Illinois State Library. And we're encouraging libraries to have more programs for families with autism. So we have this big event every year.
Oh, that's great. There have been listeners who will text, some people who are grateful that there are people who go down. And I go down.
We
to
are
tell
always
story.
In Springfield. We are in Springfield. I know that although I have great relationships with my legislators here, but when they see you visit them in Springfield, it's like, this person really is serious.
Well, and that's why I encourage people to call, to stop into their legislator's office. If they don't know your story is not being represented.
All my legislators know my story, even the ones that are not in my district. Oh, here comes Deborah Vance. They know because I tell them.
Yeah, they will. And here's the thing, you're unique. You never know when that is going to come into play when a legislator is standing on the floor. You have no idea. I mean, it really does affect them.
Let me tell you a quick story. J.D. Pritzker, I was at two of his receptions, I was at three. And when I walked into the third one, you know what he said? There's the autism lady.
There you go. So just keep showing up.
Yep.
Will you have a burger with me?
Absolutely.
We're going to talk to our friends from Michael Jordan Restaurant in just a moment.
Thank
more.
You, Patty.
Oh, my boy, you stay here because we have we also have Mark McHugh coming in to talk about Caregiver and They Deserve
awesome.
More campaign.
Okay.
We'll come back on 720 WGN. If I could just eat Mike's burgers. Wait, I don't know if that sounds all right. We are in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Deborah Vines, the executive director, creator of The Answer, and her walkathon this weekend is at Proviso West High School from noon until 4 p.m. And The Answer is an organization that helps adults with special needs, with autism, with disabilities. It's someplace for our kids to go when they're adults. They, you know, because they're cute. When they're little, they're cute, and everyone wants to help. And when they're adults, they're like, they're that weird guy standing by the fence, and that'll be my son.
Well, you know what, Patty? We actually, when we started the agency, most of the families that we service were 10 and 11 years old. Now they're adults. So we're actually working our way back. We do service a younger population as well.
Oh, cool. And that way they have a plan, too.
Absolutely.
We have Chef Cooper in studio with us, who is feeding us all. And so thank you very much for these great burgers.
Mm-hmm. It's my pleasure.
Is it? Is there a burger celebration going on?
So it is National Hamburger Month.
What?
And to celebrate at Michael Jordan Steakhouse, we're doing 31 burgers in 31 days. Every day we do a different special burger. Some of them celebrate in Chicago, celebrating famous people, and just celebrating the hamburger.
So every day, depending on when you go in, you can get that special burger of the day. What was today's burger?
Today's burger was named after one of our vendor partners at Meats by Lens, who provides the meat that we use. The guy who runs the warehouse, runs the show there for us in the back. His name is Mookie Luna.
Okay.
And he got his own burger today. It was a 10-ounce smoked beef patty with Vidalia onion rings.
Oh.
Slab. Newski's bacon, which is our favorite bacon to use.
That thick slab stuff?
Thick slab bacon. And then over top, we poured a cheddar cheese fondue at the table.
maybe we can get you to create an Answer Incorporated burger for autism.
Oh, I like that.
All right. Maybe blue cheese?
Oh, yeah. See, chef is quick. I love that. So how far in advance have you planned out all 31, or are you kind of catching up a little bit?
No, we planned out all 31. This is the third year we've done it. We have some favorites that'll come back each year. And then every year we have some standards. We always name one after a former employee who's no longer with us, but we miss.
Aww.
So this year that goes out to Jocelyn Molina, one of our girls who used to work with us. We always have one named after a vendor partner, and then we have fun with different neighborhoods in Chicago, different famous people from Chicago, and just make great burgers.
Well, I love the one that you just said. You said Mookie Luna?
Mookie.
Michael Luna is
his real name, but his family calls him Mookie.
What a great Chicago name. Hey, Mookie. But I love that you said that you pour the cheese fondue over the burger at the table. You turned it also into performance art.
Oh, people love that when the chef gets out in the... You know, and that's one of those where you go out, you pour the cheese table side, all of a sudden... You'll sell three or four of them that moment. People are like, I need to have that.
Yeah, no kidding. I know if I saw you walking up and pouring that cheese fondue, I'd be like, make that happen. Where are you from originally, Chef?
Originally grew up in Rockford, born and raised.
Okay.
And always wanted to be a chef. And then one day kind of just took a chance that I'm going to go work in a restaurant and knew I wanted to come and work in Chicago. After I'd worked in Rockford for a couple of years, said, I'm going to go work in Chicago, and had every door slammed in my face saying, you're not qualified.
Get some
city experience and we'll hire you. At that point, I knew I got to go to culinary school. So I packed up all my stuff, moved to New York with my then girlfriend, now my wife, and went to culinary school at the Culinary Institute of America, and then moved back to Chicago 3 years later and... had a list of 50 restaurants and 50 resumes and just started going and handing out resumes until I found a job.
And where was Michael Jordan's your, that wasn't your first,
no,
was it?
No, actually it was down the street here at the Capitol Grill.
Nice.
St. Clair.
Oh, one of my favorites.
And I showed up for the interview, and not many people know this, but I showed up thinking I was interviewing for a line cook position. And the person interviewing me was the corporate executive chef. I was a little bit, naive at the time. I'm like, oh, he's just going to interview for maybe a broiler position. And about halfway through the interview, I'm like, he wants a sous chef. And I'm like, man, I better turn it on. And I ended up getting that job. And it was my first job in the city. And it was one of those, it was hard at first. Hard. I got a very thrown right in the water.
Sure.
With a tough crew. And... one of those that really was able to cut my teeth on, tough Chicago kitchen, busy restaurant.
When we come back, I want to find out what landed you at Michael Jordan's restaurant and this fabulous month of burgers. They're celebrating National Burger Month at Michael Jordan's restaurant. More with Chef Scott and Deborah when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are catching up with Chef Cooper from Michael Jordan Restaurant. They are celebrating National Burger Month with 31 different burgers every single day. You were telling me that you worked for 6 years at Capitol Grill.
Actually, 8 years.
Eight years.
Spent two down here in Chicago as a sous chef, and then they put me on the road where they would send me to cities that were short a chef or...
Whoa.
And so it started in Troy, Michigan. They said, can you go up and help Troy for the Super Bowl? This was back in, I think, 2006. And I'm like, yeah. And it would stay over a week, and then they'd be like, you think you can stay another week? You think you can come back next week? And next thing you know, I had been there for 3 months.
And that has to keep you versatile, too, with, you know, having to learn a new kitchen, but you get in, you get out.
You know, I learned so much about leadership mm-hmm. during that point of being able to come in, assess the team you have, play to their strengths, and, you know, especially you have kitchens that hadn't had a chef, cooks that have been beat up, mm-hmm. maybe been leaned on, worked hard. And, you know, sometimes you go in, you're the ear to listen to. You can help lift them up. And people who had been given up, all of a sudden you've given a new life to them. You know, you don't have any of the baggage they had you didn't know about.
That's a great leader.
That is a great leader.
I learned a lot about going in and, you know, tough situations and just making them into wins.
And how did you land at Michael Jordan's?
A former colleague from the Capitol Grill who we would do menu development. We would go fly to different cities and help plan out new. He took the job here, and he had worked with Cornerstone Restaurants, the parent company, years ago, and came back to Michael Jordan's. And he called me about the week in the opening and said, "Hey, this opening is real busy. I need some help. Do you want to come help me?" And I told him, "You know, I live in the suburbs now. I'm kind of I don't want to commute." I figured every excuse, but his name was James O'Donnell, and he was persistent. And he's like, "Come on. You're going to come. And then I started coming in. "All right, I'll come talk to you." And driving back in the city after working in the suburbs for a while, I just remembered how electric it was. And all of a sudden, I'm like, "God, I want to work in the city again."
Okay.
And I would just, you know.
Longing for that.
There's a vibrancy of Chicago restaurants that you just don't have.
Oh, I can imagine.
You know, the suburbs is just a different animal. Mm-hmm. And so finally, I'm like, "All right, you got me." And I've been here for 5 years, 5.5 years.
Doesn't he look too young to have done 13 years? And on top of going to New York and studying there and putting time in Rochester?
No, just start shaving.
It's funny. I'm hitting, this will be my 20th year in a kitchen.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Mm-hmm. And thank
that
you
was
for
a solid burger, let me tell you.
Thank you.
It was a great burger.
Which one did you try? The Mookie?
I don't know which is which, but I had the
big slab of bacon.
Oh, that was the one.
Yeah. So now that's the On Wisconsin.
Oh, On
Celebration
Wisconsin.
Of Wisconsin ingredients. On there, there's some Widmere cheddar. It's an aged cheddar from Wisconsin. Slabs of the Newski's bacon.
Nice.
If you're a bacon fan, you got to go find Newski's.
Okay.
And finished off with a Rothkos mm-hmm. blue cheese fondue that goes on top. We pour a lot of stuff at the restaurant.
I know. For people who have never been to Michael Jordan's restaurant, mm-hmm. where are you located?
We're located at 505 North Michigan Avenue in the Intercontinental Hotel.
And what's the that is so good, by the way. Someone invited me out for dinner one time, and I was like, "Where?" And they told me, I'm like, "Yes, I'll be there. The steak is ridiculous."
So we've so gotten good. Really lucky. Like I said before, we partnered with some great vendors mm-hmm. who, you know, it's when you can partner with people whose values are the same as yours and who are looking for the same excellence that you are, really amazing things can happen in a restaurant. And one of the things that I've found in the last couple of years, that when you have people who are working as hard as you are to give you excellence mm-hmm. and they want to see you successful as much as you want to see them successful, that some magic can happen.
It's a wonderful place, whether you're going for a date, a business meeting, somewhere to catch up with people after work. Michael Jordan's restaurant in the Intercontinental Hotel. Kitchen closes at midnight, so you can get a late dinner. Shoot, you prefer people to get there by 11:30.
So full menu is available weeknights till 10, weekends till 11.
Okay.
And then we have a late night menu available till midnight.
Excellent.
Every day.
Well, thank you so much for coming by, Chef. Appreciate that. Look forward to having you back. Just walk down here after work sometime. We're on the air till 2 a.m.
You better watch out. I'll knock it on.
Oh, yeah.
Bags.
Come on. You have open door for you. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me writing Sidecar tonight is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist and editorial board member for the Chicago Tribune. Deborah Vines, the CEO and executive director of The Answer, Inc., helping families find the answer of what happens once a child ages out of programs. Chef Cooper, I want to thank you for staying because you had met our next guest in the green room and were curious about the conversation. So I have your mic open if you have any questions or want to join the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. And joining us is Mark McHugh. And we've talked on the show about the the state of caregiving in Illinois and how undervalued, underpaid, how dangerous it can be for our individuals with disabilities to be one. Well, Mark, tell us a little bit about where you're coming from, what your role is in all of this. They deserve better.
Sure. I'm the president and CEO of Envision Unlimited, and we're one of many organizations that provide services to people with developmental disabilities here in Illinois. Our organization is located in Chicago in the south suburbs. We serve about 1,000 people.
Okay.
And have a range, like many others in our partner agencies in this campaign, have a range of services, residential services, day services that help build skills, employment services, and the like, some children's programming.
And how long have you been in this position?
I've been in this particular position for about 2.5 years. I've been in human services my whole career, 30 plus years.
So what have you seen in those 30 years? How much has changed in the state of Illinois? And I know that, you know, so many people talk about, how are we supposed to pay for this? You know, why do I got to pay for that? You know, what has changed over the 30 years? I guess one in the financial situation that we find ourselves for the caregiving, but also the attitude toward what it means to provide care for people with disabilities.
I think that it has always been a fight, mm-hmm. if you will, to have to advocate to the state of Illinois for the needs of kids and families and adults. I think over the last 10 years in particular, roughly, it's been much, much more difficult. The state has been an increasingly difficult financial situation. And there has been less opportunity to move the needle to help get enough funding to create the right kind of outcomes for enough people in the state. And we see this in particular in the field of developmental disabilities.
Why is that? Why is this? Why? Go ahead, Scott.
I'm just agreeing with you. Why? I mean, I had a brother who had developmental issues and epilepsy. And that group seemed to have been ignored and almost, I mean, this seems
shuffled around. So
this is abusive. Why does this happen
to this community?
Yeah, this is, I said this just last week to a very large group of people. This is a forgotten group of our citizens.
Yes.
Are they forgotten or are they just ignored? Do they not have political oomph so that politicians don't have to care?
They don't have the political voice that there's, other groups have. So
is there a single legislator in the state of Illinois that has a family, like a child with a disability? I've wondered about this.
Most people know someone. Most everybody knows someone with a disability. Your uncle, your brother,
sure,
your child.
Absolutely.
But when I talk to legislators about certain issues, they always say something, well, you know, I'm a business owner and this is where I'm coming from on this. Or I am a woman, so I understand what the... Are there any parents of children with disabilities representing? Because that seems to be really, it's partly from their own point of view. Knowing somebody who does isn't the same as raising somebody. And I have wondered about that. We need someone to run, Deborah. I'm just saying. I don't mean to point at you, but I think that that's part of it. It is, you know, because it is an exhausting fight to have groups, and I'm sure you know this, to keep, because I was there when there was, earlier this year, when there was a fight to increase the wages, fell. It failed in the Senate. And there was a woman who was very emotional about how many jobs she has to have and how committed she is to the clients, to the patients that she works with. But $9.35 an hour is not enough for her to support her family and do a job that she's passionate about.
Well, that's why they have such high turnover in agencies that service families with developmental disabilities, and even the caregivers that come to the home, the respite workers, all of them, the workers, they have a really high turnover of employment because they don't pay them enough for the work that they do, and they'll find that job, and they're not truly passionate about it. It's a job. But when you pay people what they need to be paid, they'll stay longer, and they'll feel better about what they're doing with our children.
That's right. There is an understanding that this is a problem. Mm-hmm. There's not a public recognition, however, among our elected officials, and there's not the will to make the change.
But that's why we have to keep fighting. We have to stay in place.
Absolutely right. And to just kind of build on your point about turnover, turnover on average in a recent survey of larger providers in Illinois is at 50% per year.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is that amazingly high, The rate of turnover is increasing because just a year ago, it was 40% a year.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's not sustainable.
Tell listeners who may not be affected by this why what impact that has on the community when you sure. have turnover like that.
Sure. For in any organization, nonprofit, for-profit, it really doesn't matter. When you have that kind of turnover, you don't have the consistency of care, and you're not able to have a stable program overall. And so you have these vacancy rates, right? You have mm-hmm. understaffing, you have, 30, 40, 50, sometimes close to 100 positions open at any one time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're short-staffed, people can't do the things that they want to do. So if you're short-staffed in a group home, you can't go out and you can't support people doing the kinds of activities that they want to do. And the scenario I talk about often is think about the things that you want to do this weekend. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to go grocery shopping. You're going to do a few errands. You're going to hang out with your friends. You're going to maybe go to religious services. What if somebody said to you, okay, pick one?
Right.
But you know right. what? Also adding to that, when you talk about children and adults that have autism especially, they are such taskmasters that when you bring in a new staff member every 3 months, they don't get a chance to really get used to the person that's taking care of them or doing different tasks with them during the day. Because I know my son, he's just used to seeing one particular person, and then you bring in somebody else and they have to get used to them. They have to get used to Jason's antics or
schedule.
His likes and his dislikes and schedule. And it just takes them all off task and then their level of even learning. But it goes back again. Developmental disabilities are the last on the totem pole and even in people's mind.
And the first thing to be cut, the first thing
That's
to be
it.
Affected.
Yep. Yeah.
I will say this over and over again. There was a representative who, when I started going to Springfield in 2015, after they made the cuts to Autism Program of Illinois, to Epilepsy yeah. Foundation, to a lot of drug addiction facilities, he said, well, things are tough. Everyone's going to suffer. And I mm-hmm. have not seen that is the case. We have started with our most vulnerable. I think that you're not getting your notification in the mail about your license renewal. Is that really, are you suffering the same as an individual with a developmental disability? Are you really? I'm just curious.
My husband says it best. He said, and the most things that people are worried about is the crime. Senior citizens and people with disabilities are the last that I thought about.
They don't have that political voice, which is why we're putting this campaign. We put this "They Deserve More" campaign together, right? So that we can bring awareness to not just the plight of staff in our who are doing this work, which is important, but the impact that it has on the individuals that we serve, across the state.
312-981-7200 if you have any comments or questions for Mark McHugh. We are talking about the They Deserve More campaign, the caregiver crisis. And let me give you some of the numbers. There are 27,000 children and adults with developmental disabilities who depend on services in the state of Illinois. $9.35 is the hourly starting wage for direct support. It has been 9 years since Illinois increased Medicaid rates earmarked for the care of people with developmental disabilities. And we are 47th. Illinois ranks 47th among states for spending commitment for people with disabilities. 312-981-7200. Yes, do you want to say something before we go to break?
I was just going to say to your point about Illinois being 47th. Illinois is last in all Midwest states in spending for community mm-hmm. services for people with developmental disabilities. And here are a couple of numbers. In Indiana, they spend $140 per capita. In Minnesota, $260 per capita. In Illinois, $60 per capita.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that says a lot about the importance of people with developmental disabilities in Illinois.
When we come back from the break, let's talk about how people can get involved, how they can raise awareness in their communities, what they can do to help those who need it the most. And people will listen to Deborah and I and think, well, why should we help you? There are 27,000 individuals in the state. So when we tell you that we are going down, it is to improve the future of the state of Illinois for our kids, but for all kids, because a high tide raises all boats. I want the boats to be higher. I just want
right.
more boats in the water. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm in the Allstate Showcase studio with Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist and editorial board member for the Chicago Tribune. Mark McHugh, I'm sorry, I didn't write down your title over at...
President and CEO.
President and CEO. I should know these things. Of...
Envision Unlimited.
I'm going to write it all down so I have it now. Envision Unlimited. And there are listeners who were curious about how to contact you. We're not sure if they want more information in regards to this campaign. They deserve more.
Sure. Well, I would encourage everybody to go to the website, which is theydeservemore.com. And there's a lot of great information that you'll be able to use and learn a few more details. Some of the data that you referenced earlier, Patty, is on the website as well. And I encourage you to use that website to call your legislators and talk about how important it is for them to solve this problem.
So a lot of people are cynical. I'm sorry, Scott, were you going to say something?
No.
I didn't mean to. I didn't want to cut you off. But a lot of people are at that point where they're cynical about our legislators, about the politics of Illinois, and they feel like calling doesn't make any difference. You know, they're not going to listen to me anyway. Why bother? This is something that I encourage people to tell their story, to tell them why it's important. Tell our listeners why it's important to contact them.
Absolutely. I actually understand. I totally recognize that. But legislators do respond to public pressure, especially when there's a great deal of public pressure. The impact on people, on their everyday lives, on the risk to their safety, on the risk to institutionalization is very real here, and the risk to additional costs because we're not funding the community system is also very real here, and so. Making phone calls, if you're up to it, making visits is very important. It's very important for them to hear from you.
I will be in Springfield next week. I'll post. I'm trying to figure out good days to look. If you text us and you want to go to Springfield, I'm going every week for the next 3 weeks at least, probably through the end of session. If you want to take a trip down to Springfield and meet up with me, I will meet you at the. I can find a way to coordinate. I will introduce you to your legislators. I'll show you how you can to ask to talk to them while they're in session. They do meet with their constituents. They meet with people while they're on the floor, while conversations, debates are happening. And I think it is important to watch how the sausage is made, see how the issues of the state of Illinois are debated, how they're handled, what the process is like. And what do you, were you down there when the Senate voted down to, they did not pass the move to increase wages for caregivers?
Yeah, I wasn't down there, but I was paying attention to it at the time.
What was the argument against raising it? Is it simply, not simply, obviously everyone says we're broke, we don't have money, but was it really what it came down to was that we don't have money or that this is not something we value in the state of Illinois? Because it's kind of, that's what they're saying by not.
Yeah, so the money argument is pretty much what you get in virtually every issue at this point.
Right.
But what's underneath that, right, is that there's not enough political will and not enough political will to come together to create a state budget that we haven't had for 2 years, much less anything that goes, any particular line item that goes into it.
Right.
So that's really what this is about, like it is with so many other things that are not working politically. It's the inability of both sides to come together.
It is... I don't even know where to begin anymore with this battle of the wills that is going down in Springfield. I know that a lot of people have their ideas as to whose fault it is, but the people that suffer the most are those who are most vulnerable. The individuals with disabilities, students across the state of Illinois, our elderly, and children who are battling for their lives with all kinds of illnesses that they, we've talked about. Babies who are born with medical conditions that really do need immediate care. And there is really, we're dropping the ball in the state of Illinois. Mark, where else can people, they can go to theydeservemore.com?
Theydeservemore.com. We have, you can also click on our Facebook page from the website as well as our Twitter handle and share the stories that come out.
And this will also be available. The link to your website will be available on the podcast that Michael will be putting up for this segment. Take a break here. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Scott Stantus, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, who has posed a question that is setting our tech screen on fire. We will take those all after 1 a.m. After 1 a.m., we also have a pair of tickets to see My Fair Lady at the Chicago Lyric Opera. So stay tuned for your chance to win those tickets. Also joining us, oh, by the way, go ahead and re-ask your question for those who are joining us a little bit late.
It is simply this. In the United States, is healthcare a privilege or a right?
We'll have that conversation after 1 a.m. I think that's how you want to say more, but that's really the question. Is it a right or a privilege? Also joining us is comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire, who will jump in on that conversation after 1 a.m. as well.
I will.
Excellent. Bess Boswell, how are you doing, Bess?
Wonderful. How are you?
I am so excited to have you in studio. When I met you a couple years ago with the improv group, sketch group, Just the Tip, which they're so funny. We were talking about your experiences and that you work with a lot of camps.
Yeah. I work with a lot of camps. I have a background in recreation and then trained as a therapist too, so I'm trying to implement the two together.
And I always remember that because what changed my life, what made my world a bigger place when I was young was going to Girl Scout camp. I learned how to canoe and sail and horseback ride, and I learned how to build a fire, and I learned, but with all that, I say those skills, but it was also problem solving and working with other people. I'm still not that great when it comes to personality conflicts, but I mean, my ability to even approach any sort of situation, I think, is informed by my experience for 6 years at camp. Tell us a little bit about Chicago Voyagers.
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit that partners with Chicago youth agencies to take the kids on an outdoor experience anywhere from a one day, like day at Bussy Woods, biking or canoeing, to a 5 to 8 day camping trip that, you know, is to empower Chicago youth and help them develop and into themselves and empower, tripping over my words.
You're fine.
But to foster healthy relationships and empower, you know, responsible behavior. And, you know, it is that teamwork, that problem solving when the fire can't get lit or all the bugs and learning the skills of it just help them believe in them. The youth believe in themselves more.
And how can people find out about Chicago Voyagers? And maybe if their kid is, you know, if this is right, you know, for their summer, for what they should be doing.
Yeah, so ChicagoVoyagers.org, you know, it's really about youth agencies reaching out to us to help their agency take these youth on experiences.
So people need to find those agencies to get their kids involved.
Yeah, or these agencies need to find us and we'll help them. You know, we raise money throughout the year and we provide, you know, low-income youth anywhere from starting at 40% to up higher percent off to, you know, no youth pays, and the agencies get a discount because we know all the agencies in the state of Illinois don't have much finances. And so we counterbalance that with providing, you know, fundraising throughout the year.
And you have a fundraiser coming up this weekend?
Sunday. Yeah, yes. We're pretty much maxed out on tickets, but, you know, any donation helps. And so $10 can go a long way. We're trying to buy some brand new tents for the, you know, just four tents, which is ultimately like we can get it for like $800. But like $55 a day provides a youth a full day camping experience with healthy food. We provide good food and leadership and confidence building stuff, all the while like canoeing in the middle of some of the most beautiful places in the Midwest, all the way down to Florida and Tennessee.
I was going
to
ask, where all do you go?
We have a camp in the Boundary Waters. We go to Turtle Flambeau. We go to the Florida Everglades, Smoky Mountains, Devil's Lake, Bussy Woods. We use the Forest Preserve, Chicago, Cook County Forest Preserves, for more than a lot of our, you know, more than 50% of our experiences, because we want them to have, you know, outlets here and as well as away from here. So.
Yeah, so you can do a day trip. I was so surprised to learn last year how much is available in the Chicago, the Cook County Forest Preserve.
It's amazing.
I went on one of those zip lining kind of obstacle course things, and I didn't know that there was camping in the Forest Preserve. There are all kinds of activities that are available, canoeing and rowboating and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we partner with them, and it's great. They're trying to raise some money for helping Chicago Voyagers youth and agencies get transportation out to the Forest Preserves, because that tends to be a big fee of a lot of it. People are like, how do we get these kids here? And so we're partnering with Cook County Forest Preserve to help do that.
Scott, have you been, did you go to camp?
Go to camp. I loved it.
I did too.
Absolutely loved it.
This guy's got a story. He hates camping.
You hate camping?
I had day camp. I enjoyed day camp.
Day camp's different.
I just had a bad camping experience when I was a kid. We went on a family camping trip to Wyoming, and
it's not the same thing. Family camping isn't the same.
No, that's
thing.
Very different. That, yeah. The advantage of going to camp is you got away from family.
Yes, that's a I mean,
well, maybe that's
Here's why. And Bess will tell you too is that when you are away from your and not that like you need that. There is an idea of freedom, of independence, of you know whether I mean who knows what kind of relationship a child has with their parents, whether there's a judgmental aspect to it or always feeling under the scrutiny of a parent when you're away from that and you have people who can work with kids who we talked about problem solving and team building, it really does expand their experience. It's unbelievable.
I missed out. Yes. I didn't get that
because your parents took you camping in Wyoming.
Well, my mom and my uncle did with my brother. But yeah, there was a lot of and then there was a fear of bears because my uncle kept saying there might be bears.
Oh God.
Yeah. So that probably and I still have a fear of bears.
Well, it's
bear bins are a real thing. You need them and they're like bear bins. So you put your food in this like these bins that bears can't get. So when you hang them up and do a bear bag hang.
Mm-hmm. So they go for the bag and not your stuff.
Or you.
Yeah. Totally.
Oh, so you put that as like an offering to be like, hey, here you go.
Well, you're protecting it. You're putting it away from the group.
Yeah, they can't get
away
to that, so they go after you.
Yeah.
I think is what I'm hearing.
So how does that protect you? I mean, your stuff is fine, but I didn't have a lot of stuff when I was 5 years old.
They're not going to bother you if you don't have food and toothpaste and goodies and stuff that's going
to
interest
food
them.
To them.
Yeah.
Not, I mean,
did you see Faces
they like
of
sugar
Death?
Just like we do. They're going for the food, but you hang it up, you know, away from them and things like that.
Esmeralda, did you ever go camping?
Not as a kid. I've gone a couple times as an adult.
And how did you like it?
But I have very specifics.
Ooh.
I have demands when I go camping.
Glamping. Are you a glamper?
It's not that. It's more like a toilet What's needs a to be... So far away.
Okay.
Like maybe a 10-minute walk at the most.
Yeah, I think that's
Jeez,
fair.
Queen of England over here.
I know. Yep. I need to be carried on someone's shoulders.
Beth said there's showers, too, at most facilities now. That was something
I don't mind. State parks and things like that. But we tend to go off a little bit more than that. And we're
roughing it. You rough it.
Yeah,
a
rough
bit.
It. Cat holes and things like that. Cat holes, outdoor dug bathroom, leave no trace kind of methods and mentality. So...
Leaves can be, better for hygiene than you think they are. Leaves, that's.
What about the shower?
Just don't get the one with the three.
Yeah,
with the red middle. How about the what?
The shower thing, like how often there are showering facilities.
When you're out in the backcountry, you tend to not have that. You can kind of clean off when the lake or the river, you know, just a little hygiene.
How long are you going for?
Depends, right?
Depends. Yeah, 5 to is kind of our typical 5 to 8 is kind of
dazed.
Yeah,
dazed.
I'm out.
Oh yeah, no, that was like a 5-hour trip. I could probably do that.
No, it's awesome. You know, you teach it so you know by the end of it, you're barely even noticing that you haven't showered, and your hair looks great when you wash it for the first time afterwards, and things like that. So
everyone can go to chicagovoyagers.com and
.org.
I'm sorry, that's right. I apologize.
No problem.
Chicagovoyagers.org, and you can learn more about the programs that they have and how you can sponsor a teen for a day. Like $25 restocks a medical kit to keep the kids safe. $50 covers the cost of a campsite for a night. $75 buys, this is what you can do.
I'm listening.
Paul, you can buy a bear canister to protect their food supply while they're in the wilderness.
So. See, I, going back to what we were talking about before.
We'll talk about off the air. More after this on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 if you have comments or questions. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist and editorial board member for the Chicago Tribune. Comedian Paul Farivar, Esquire, also host of Singles Only podcast, which we have a new one out this week that I co-hosted on with Sovereign Sire. You can go to iTunes and look for Singles Only. It's available there. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. It's the first time I've ever interviewed somebody that I could go watch their work on Pornhub afterwards. We also have in studio with us.
She's a porn star.
She's lovely.
Does she have trouble getting dates?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, she seems... it's a complicated. You should listen to the podcast.
Okay.
Here's the thing. This is what I love about radio, about the shows that we do. We have so many different conversations. I know that we have listeners that are texting in about your question. Mm-hmm. Is healthcare in the United States a right or a privilege? And we are going to talk about that after 1 a.m. We also have a pair of tickets to give away for My Fair Lady at the Chicago Lyric Opera. And I've left it to you, Paul and Bess, to figure out how to give that away. Whether it's, we'll have to decide during the news. We'll lock into how that is going to be awarded to someone tonight. It is a great show. Have you ever been to the Chicago Lyric Opera?
I have not.
Oh, wait to this one. Yeah, go ahead.
I have not.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's such a beautiful theater.
Awesome.
You got to find that should be a camp day.
Yeah, it should be. I was supposed to graduate there. I think DePaul does the graduation there, yeah. But they like switched it the year because I was in like grad school there. So I was out at Rosemont.
Oh, really? Well, it's, yeah
it's still nice, but.
It's not the Chicago Lyric Opera. Yeah. Where did you graduate? You were at University of Illinois.
I was at University of Illinois. Yeah. But I did go to a DePaul Law School graduation at the Lyric Opera to see my friend.
What a great place to graduate from. Yeah, you should. Do you guys do adventures like that, like trips like that? I know it's not camping, and it's more of a field trip thing to take them to a performance or something like that. You know what would be cool? I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
No, I said we're open to a little bit of everything. Like we do bike the drive sometimes and different
we'll be
things.
There.
And so, yeah, cool. It depends on the year. We're a young organization. We're growing. And so we're expanding in a huge rate.
There is. Do you guys ever do any events or you know, adventures in the Adirondacks? I know you were talking about the Everglades and throughout
the Adirondacks. No, we're in the Boundary Waters, but okay. We're open to making new trips every year.
The reason I ask is because just for like down the road someday. By the way, she is the program director.
Program manager.
Program manager for Chicago Voyagers. You can go to chicagovoyagers.org to find out how you can help send a teenager on one of these adventures, help them expand their world, you mm-hmm. know. But in the Adirondacks is where the Boston Pops, they rehearse in New Lenox.
Ooh.
Or is it Lenox? I think it's Lenox, Massachusetts, right there in the woods. So if you're anywhere nearby, you can actually, you don't have to even go to the performance. You can hear it just floating through the woods. I go to a yoga retreat. I used to go to a yoga retreat out there, and you could sit outside and just hear the music wafting, just sort of bathing in this wonderful music.
That's what it's all about.
I'm just saying. Just imagine sitting around a campfire being able to hear the Boston Pops.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other adventures? We were talking about, you know, whether it's sort of the survival, more roughing it trips. Do you guys have ones where there are cabins?
Yeah, we do cabins in the winter. Typically, we have, you know, we do cross-country skiing.
Ooh. So you do winter adventures, too.
Winter adventures. We do some scuba. Partner with a scuba agency here, and we take the kids on the kind of introductory scuba day at a college pool, so they get to go on college campus, they get to do some intro scuba. We're always implementing teamwork activities and communication, problem solving, kind of like skills in that. Rock climbing, biking, mountain biking, a little bit of everything.
That's great.
Yeah.
And we were telling everybody, by the way, Bess Boswell, who again is the program manager for Chicago Voyagers. If you go to chicagovoyagers.org, you can donate and help send a kid to the wilderness or on one of these adventures. Do the kids that that you guys work with, you were mentioning some of the agencies that you know reach out to you, what are they coming from communities throughout the Chicagoland area, throughout Illinois?
Yeah, Chicagoland area typically. 93% of the youth we serve are low income or at risk. You know, kind of we say they have had adverse childhood experiences, which can be anywhere from a pre-existing condition all the way to, you know, low income, living in poverty and things like that. So, so there's Chicagoland area. We have inner city Chicago, and then we have some suburbs and things like that.
And when you expand a child's experiences, when they've come from, you know, an environment that has a lot of whether it's violence or low income, not a lot of access to resources in the way other people are familiar with, giving them an opportunity to sort of really, I mean, have something that they never even imagined.
Yeah. Positive reinforcement, positive experiences, you know, create a new kind of wave in the brain to help recover and help heal from, you know, from adverse childhood experiences.
So help our communities, help our kids. You know, people are always talking about, what can we do? How do we solve this? This is a step in a direction that I think that many of us aren't thinking about, and that's chicagovoyagers.org. Quick break here, and then the news. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist and editorial board member for the Chicago Tribune. Comedian Paul Farvar Esquire, also the host of Singles Only podcast, available on iTunes. We also have Bess Boswell, who is the program manager for Chicago Voyagers. And I was just talking to her, Michael, off the air about doing an adventure. I'm going to tell people that we're planning an adventure with
you.
I'm saying, right? Isn't that great for our video series that we're working on?
That truly is.
Yes. We also are, we're going to be doing, in the next few weeks, we're doing CrossFit at the Doghouse.
I can't wait for that. And I'm also very scared.
And also, should I tell you the other one we're going to do?
I'm on the edge of my seat here, Patty.
Esmeralda, we're going to do a burlesque class with our friend Michelle L'Amour.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh la la.
I'm just saying. So get your boa ready. Get your satin gloves on.
Well, it's good we're doing CrossFit before the burlesque.
I'm giving everyone at least a month, 5 to 6 weeks to feel like you're in a position in a physical, in a mental place as well. To do that. We've been talking a lot all night, on and off, about the Affordable Care Act. The House has passed a measure to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. And part of this that has become public is what things will now be considered a pre-existing condition. You can go to my regular Facebook page, not the Patty V Show, but my own page. You'll see a picture, actually, of my son Declan. When he was born, he was not breathing on his own, had to be ventilated, and was on life support for several days, and was on oxygen. And when Jimmy Kimmel, I have not been able to watch Jimmy Kimmel's monologue because that's very close to my heart. I know what those moments are like when your child is born. And I can't even imagine. I was fortunate enough that my husband at the time was employed full time and that we had an insurance coverage that made sure that our son survived. We didn't have to make a choice as to whether or not he was going to have this treatment or that. I mean, I don't know how you decide that your child are we going to go broke because my child needs oxygen? I don't know how you come to that conclusion. I think that you choose that your child and everything else, your entire financial future can be destroyed in that moment because you've chosen your child that your child should live. So there's an expanded list of conditions that will be under everyone is familiar. This is not law. This is not the final stage. But I do believe voting for this measure to repeal and replace Affordable Care Act in its present form is a representation of what your legislators who voted for it, where their morals are, what they prioritize. So here are some of the things. If you happen to have acne, that is now considered, that would be considered a pre-existing condition. Now that could mean, depending on where it falls down the road, it could mean that you are not eligible for care or for coverage, or that the cost for covering you would be significantly higher. For blood clotting, if you have COPD, if you have Crohn's disease, if you have depression, how many people does that take out? And that means that if you ever were diagnosed, right? So that's in your medical records.
Victim of domestic violence too, I thought,
and rape
was on there.
Yeah. Yes. And also C-section would also be considered a pre-existing condition. So, oh, yes. Are you okay? Are you all right,
Scott?
No,
my head, brain just hurting.
Yeah. Ulcers. Also, by the way,
ulcers.
Also, tooth disease. Is there an American in the country that doesn't have, what qualifies as tooth disease? If you have a cavity now, does that count? What is considered tooth disease?
I have no idea what that would be.
Oh, if you have a sleep disorder. So if you are on a PAP machine, you would now be considered someone, if this passes in the Senate, in Congress, you will also be considered someone who has a pre-existing condition. So, nasal polyps. So there you go.
Damn.
I know. I didn't mean to point at you.
You're
I don't
pointing
know.
Right at me. You just look at this nose and just figure it's full of polyps, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, kidney stones. Which seems to be very prevalent. As
I like how you said it. Oh, kidney stones.
I'm
excited you found another one.
Look at that, gout. So, glaucoma also on the list. You can go to Time Magazine, actually. Their website has, if you Google Time and Affordable Care Act pre-existing conditions, there is a list of everything pretty much there. And you can Google what is the list now. Scott, you had a question for our listeners.
I do have a question. They've been getting some really interesting answers texted to us. Mm-hmm. And that number is, Patty?
312-981-7200. The question that you have asked throughout the evening
is, in the United States, should medical coverage be a privilege or a right. The difference being, you know, you have the privilege if you have a job or if you can afford the insurance, whatever. But a right is that every person has it. Can I go tell a quick story?
Yes.
My father, who was much more conservative than I am, but was very smart, and we had vigorous discussions, and this is one of them. And I asked him this question. This is in the late 90s, and it was, you know, again, health, you know, and I think Hillary Care was still being kicked around or at least talked about. Where I worked at the Birmingham News, if I had a heart attack and the janitor had a heart attack, I had insurance, so I could have the open heart surgery, bypass surgery. It's a $100,000 procedure. I had the insurance to cover that. The janitor was under a different company for that building. He could not because he wasn't insured. Now, the question is, does that janitor have the right to what at the time was a life-saving procedure? Or should that be denied him because of his economic standing? And I do get it, which is because of my economic standing. And that's where the right comes in.
Right.
And so the question before us as a nation is this a right or is it a privilege? There's people who are writing in tonight, texting tonight. And fascinating. Here's, may I read one here from the 773? It says, hello, Patty, enjoying the show. First and foremost, I'd like to start by saying this. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that I, as an American citizen, am guaranteed insurance. As an American citizen, am guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Once again, it does not say insurance, even though there was no insurance back then. It is ridiculous, though, that everybody must have access to insurance because it's their right. If that's the case, then everybody should have access, which is the Democrats' word to use instead of free, but that's what they mean. And everything they do, and he goes on, and this person goes on to say this. That's a point, and it's a salient one. But I have to say, my faith. I'm going to answer the question and let everyone else answer it. But my faith and just common sense says that it should be a right in the United States. By the way, the person sending the text failed to mention the rest of the preamble, which also talks about promote the general welfare.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and 200 years ago, over 200 years ago, would anyone have the conception, the idea of what a chemo treatment would cost?
Precisely. So, yes, a basic medical coverage should be a right in the United States.
I agree. Here's the thing. The Constitution also did not end slavery. Does that make it a true and right document in every sense?
It did say that African Americans were, or African slaves were 3/5 of a human.
There you go. So,
you know.
There's that. We have Pat on the line who wants to join the conversation. Hi, Pat. What did you want to say?
Well, with what he just said, I've got so many things. First off, with you, how you said, should I, if you had a child and, well, it's going to cost, you said, $5,000 or $10,000, $100, whatever. Do I go bankrupt and do it, or do I let my kid die? Of course. No, you don't. You go bankrupt. You don't go bankrupt immediately. But as our president has multiple times, you go ahead and spend whatever you got to spend.
Right.
And what?
Okay. We're losing you.
I can't come bankrupt. Hey, right?
Right.
I mean, that's basically what I'm feeling from all this.
Hey Pat, we're catching every other word. Can you call us back? Maybe on a landline? Are you on a landline or a cell phone?
I'm on a cell phone. I think it's my Bluetooth that's not working.
Pat, let me take a break here. Switch from your Bluetooth to your phone, and we'll continue the conversation. Everyone can join us at 312-981-7200, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to My Fair Lady. We just have to figure out how we're going to do that. It's such a great show at the Chicago Lyric Opera. More in just a moment on 720 WGN. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We've been talking about the House's move to pass part of the pass it on to basically to the Senate, to the Congress. Wait, what is it? What is it, Paul? They've approved
the House
elements to repeal and replace Obamacare. Affordable Care Act.
Now it's got to go to the Senate for approval on their side.
But I contend that even if the Senate doesn't pass this, this is where the House of Representatives have decided. This is where our values are. This is what we prioritize. This is what we think it should look like. So if you agree with your representatives, and there's a list of Illinois representatives, including Roskam, Bost, LaHood. I know Esmeralda's got the list on her Facebook page. And so those legislators in the state of Illinois who passed that, if you agree with what they did, congratulations. If you don't, maybe you want to make a phone call and say, hey, that's not what I thought you were going to do. If
they should have called earlier, though, but it's still okay to call now.
Hey, Pat, we were talking about that choice that people might have to make in whether or not to go bankrupt or make sure that, every possible measure is taken to save the life of a baby or anybody in your family, really, for that matter. We were losing you a little bit. What else did you want to say, Pat?
I agree with your... whoever your guest, that your guest was saying that health insurance should be a given. Everybody in the United States that's an American citizen should have free health. We pay so many taxes on everything. We get taxed left and right. You know, your income, your tax, everything you do, you buy something, you get taxed.
Right.
Everything we do, tax. Free health care across the board. Free dental. I don't get that. Why is dental separate from medical?
I agree.
You know, if you don't have, if your teeth ain't right, you ain't eating. You're not healthy. This is ridiculous. I actually had a dentist tell me, oh, no, it should totally be separate. I'm like, wait, that's mental. How do you think that? That doesn't make sense.
I think the dentists don't want to be folded into the nightmare of health care and insurance.
And in fact, in the UK right now, I think the last dentist has left the national health care system because they have a two-tiered system and they can go into private practice and be paid, you know, and be paid cash or someone has a supplemental health.
Well, you can still do that. I mean, there's doctors that can pay cash. Come on, who you can? You know, I don't. At some point, I've not had health insurance. I pay my doctors, my dentist, cash.
Right.
I've got a better deal.
I know. I think that part of the problem is going into this pool of healthcare. And Pat, I thank you so much. I think it is your phone line. We're kind of losing you a little bit again, but we thank you so much for calling. I invite everyone to call. I didn't mean to cut Pat off, but I want to make sure that we can hear you. We were having a little bit of trouble. 312-981-7200. And I think that the issue too is if we decide that it's a privilege, then healthcare is a commodity, which it has been treated as a commodity by obviously the insurance companies. How much can they make? What's the bottom line? How do we save money? And that's necessary to make sure that there isn't, that money isn't being wasted. The technology progresses. If you invest money in what the advances are, that's all important. There has to be a better way to do this, but has it gotten too far out of control, Paul? Has it gotten to the point where it's, you know, we've let it really spiral out of control? How do we rein back in the insurance companies and the rates at which they can charge things? I mean, if you get an aspirin in the hospital, it's like $150 to be, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to all those questions, but I mean, the big thing is insurance companies and their profits determining what the maximum profit is that they can make. When you have that number regulated, if you decide to regulate anything, then all these rates, it doesn't matter what insurance companies come, because then the free market will govern. You know, some people will say, oh, this is what our rate is, and you'll go to Aetna or whoever, and it's going to, I do think that there's an argument there. But going back to what we were talking about before, I mean, some of it is a privilege, but some of it, you know, I think the way Obamacare was set up was pretty close to what I think is fair. You know, you have your basic rights, but then, you know, if you want bells and whistles, that's a privilege.
And I think that there was something important that Chris Kennedy said earlier tonight about how, you know, people were really upset with the Affordable Care Act and how high their premiums were. And he was talking about how when you previously bought a plan that was cheaper and more affordable, you know, you didn't find out what the lifetime caps were or what became what pre-existing conditions were not covered previously. So because there was that part of the legislation that enforced, you know, pre-existing conditions had to be covered, you had a bigger pool of people who were then covered, and different kind of coverage. Your plan had to change accordingly.
Because you had the pool of every, if you made it mandatory for everybody to have insurance, mm-hmm. which is where the argument of right. privilege versus right comes into play.
But. And this today's movement by the House, or earlier, I guess yesterday, does also rescind that mandate.
Right.
It will no longer be mandatory to have health insurance.
Well, you can't have one without the other, because if you have the mandatory aspect, then you have all those healthy people in it, which brings the cost down. But once you take away that, that's where the skyrocket starts, yeah. in my opinion.
And there's a peripheral issue for me today. And this was this afternoon after the measure passed the House of Representatives. They had a shindig at the White House and the president. I think your listeners know, and if you know my work from the Tribune, I'm not a Trump guy, okay? But still, this guy still somehow, after all this time, still gets under my skin during the, you know, rah-rah ceremonies congratulating themselves on passing this legislation. He says, the important thing here is that this legislation has unified Republicans. And you're just going, good God, you know, it's been 100 days, dude. Don't you understand that you are now president of everybody, and that legislation should not just be for one party or the next. This should be a victory, if you think
for
it's
Americans.
A victory for the American people. But he still doesn't get that. And it's just so galling. I'm done.
We are going to continue talking about this. We also have a lot of texts to get to, but I want to go back to our conversation with Bess Boswell, because we have a listener on the line. Ruth, how are you doing tonight?
Good. And Patty, I want to share with you and your listeners the experiences that I had by growing up in an inner city neighborhood in Chicago. My mother was on a VA pension, my father Marine Corps gone from World War II, and the amount was so small, was so low. We had a wood-burning stove in a basement apartment on 21st Street off of Paulina, and we had no bathtub. But anyway, what I did was wander around the neighborhood a lot, and I wandered over to Getz Hill, and I found a summer camp. I was 9 years old, and I got to go for 3 to 4 years, and three of my brothers, my younger brothers, also got to go. But what I gleaned from that summer camp in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, called Holiday Home, was that later on in life, I volunteered in enormous numbers of children's activities, from everything you can imagine, sandcastle building contests to traveling playgrounds for a park district. I went to being a Girl Scout leader for 3 years with a three-year-old son and an infant son, and also hosting kids from Iron River, Michigan, in my backyard in the late 1970s so they could go to Great America. This is just a small amount that I did volunteering with children's activities for years and years throughout my life. And I credit the summer camp that they made available for low-income children for me and my lifetime. I turned around and gave it back to my country, because it was such a phenomenal experience for a child who, my mother wouldn't spend any money taking us on any bus CTA to go anywhere, so we didn't go anywhere. So that summer camp was like some phenomenal experience with the woods, the North Woods, the culture, the things involving ethnic nationalities, the Christmas in July, the traveling around the world. It was just incredible. And I never forgot it. It never left me, so that I could do something similar in my own way without even having to travel very far to do it.
I love that. It's such a great story, Ruth. Thank you so much. And I think it's a great, really, I think, championing of what Bess Boswell, who is the program manager for Chicago Voyagers. You can go to chicagovoyagers.org and help children have the same sort of life-changing experience that Ruth had in her childhood. We have to take a break here. Thank you, Ruth. Look forward to hearing from you again. More after this on 720 WGN. I have a pair of tickets for My Fair Lady at Chicago Lyric Opera. I saw it last weekend with my mom. It was so much fun. Richard E. Grant is delightful as as Dr. Higgins. Why are you laughing so much? Oh, you have donut in your mouth. You can't say anything.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. But in order to win these tickets, we have been we're going off of our conversation that evolved between comedian Paul Farivar and program manager for Chicago Voyagers, Bess Boswell, about bear attacks.
Yes.
And so, in order to win these tickets. This is the question is we and this is it's open lines 312-981-7200. Here is the question for you.
Okay, the question is the best way to avoid a bear attack out in the woods.
Now, Bess will be our judge, and there are different criteria for points.
For example, one way would be...
No, don't give examples,
what are
the categories for points?
This one doesn't count.
But what if somebody wanted to use that one, and now they can't use it because you threw it out there? No, there's different categories for creativity and plausibility. Are those the two categories?
Accuracy and creativity, yes.
Is there a swimsuit
You can give yours after other people have given theirs. I would hate to throw one out there that maybe someone would have come up on their own.
Understood.
And takes them out of the running.
I was just throwing it away.
Throw nothing away. Look, the listeners are already calling. 312-981-7200. The best way to avoid a bear attack in the woods for a pair of tickets. Now, we're going to decide which one's the most creative and the most plausible or most accurate, according to our guest, Bess Boswell. Time now for our news. Again, the number is 312-981-7200.
We decide the tie if there's tiebreakers.
And everyone, regardless of whether or not you win the My Fair Lady tickets, everyone will win a pair of tickets to Zanies on Wells for the Funny Females coming up on May 15th.
Oh boy, do I love bears. You can bet your life, but I do. There ain't nothing anywhere like a big black bear, long as he's a mile away from you. Well, the first time I went camping, just a knapsack on my back, I hiked 10 miles into the bush with a buddy by the name of Jack. And old Jack, he was an expert. He'd been camping for a whole lot of years. So all we took...
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. What song is this? Turn this up a little bit.
Went fishing on the lake and we sure had a barrel of fun.
It's the bear song.
Okay, let me sing a song with Bess.
Yeah, the Super Bowl shuffle.
Let me see if I can do this song with Bess. Ready, Bess? The other day, I saw a bear. A great big bear.
Bear.
Oh, way out there. Oh, way out there. Sorry, it's one of my Girl Scout songs. I can't help myself. But we are taking your calls. We have the lines filled right now. So these are our contestants. So we have Sean, Mark, Susan, and Harold, and Ruth, and we are going to take you, so tell us as succinctly as possible how to avoid a bear attack in the woods. This is for a pair of tickets to My Fair Lady at the Chicago Lyric Opera. Sean, go. Hey, Sean. Hello. What's your tactic for avoiding a bear attack?
I've watched it on TV. Get the hell out of there as fast as you can. Can't climb a tree, they'll come after you. You have to just move. Run.
Okay. So Sean is going with...
Contestant number one.
Run. All right. That is contestant number one. Contestant number two, we have Mark on the line. Mark, what is your tactic?
Good evening. How you guys doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Well, I've heard the best thing to do is stand your ground and keep eye contact with the bear.
Okay. And then negotiate your way out of it?
Yeah, either douse myself with honey and wait the inevitable.
Winner. No.
Well, those are two different answers.
We'll
give you both answers.
Dust yourself with honey. All right, thank
honey
you.
Honey duster.
All right, Mark, stand by. Let's see what Susan has.
Contestant
number three is Susan. What do you got, Susan?
You should take your food and put it in a backpack or knapsack and tie it high in a tree.
Okay. So set your food up high in the tree to avoid a bear attack, because then you don't have the food.
Yes.
But then don't you become the food?
No.
This is not a question thing. This is Susan's
she's
tactic.
She's second guessing her question.
Stand by, Susan. Harold, what is your tactic?
Contestant number four.
Yes.
I always go in the woods where bears are with somebody who is unable to outrun me.
Take a slow poke.
Camp with slow poke. Gotcha.
I also tie myself in a knapsack and hang myself high in the
How many feet off the ground, sir?
All right. He's
I have to know how tall the bear is.
Oh, okay. Good question. Good follow-up. Okay.
All right. Ty himself.
That's contestant five, Patty?
That's contestant four. So number four. Five. Thank you, Harold. Stand by.
Contestant five. Mm,
and we have Ruth. Ruth, what is your tactic for avoiding a bear attack?
Hi. Well, I foiled the curse for the Chicago Cubs by wrapping the Billy Goat hat in foil. So I would have to foil the bears up in the tree with the food. Also have the camping ground near water, and you would have an inflatable or a boat so you could take off quickly. Or you could also have your food on there to get that away from them.
Ah, I like that.
But the main thing is to foil anything, and the Chicago Bears, the football team, should learn that motive also. Foil it.
It applies
foil
to
it.
Foil it.
So foil
Cubs,
it.
Bears, foil. And foiling. Yes.
I like the idea of having all your food in a canoe. So if the bear comes, I guess you float your food away, but
yeah,
you're still there.
Off with it.
I like the idea of wrapping the bear in foil.
But bears are very good. Yes, wrap the bear in foil. Okay. So those are our contestants. Now let's go.
Seems dangerous.
It does seem dangerous. Okay, so we have
but
Sean.
Maybe it's shiny objects.
Sean would run. How does running do when you're in a bear attack?
It puts you in a weaker kind of system. You know, they're going to see that as a sign of weakness. You are supposed to stand your ground, stand
so,
still.
They're also very fast, aren't they?
Number one, accuracy, yes. 0 out of 10. What do you give him?
Zero, one. Yeah,
creativity.
Don't run.
One for running.
Don't run.
One for
don't run.
And then creativity.
Yeah.
How many points
does
he get?
Okay. Any
points?
So one for creativity, one for accuracy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully he
feasibility.
Runs fast.
Right.
Like,
is there a third category? Just those are the two categories.
What third category would you like?
I just asked.
Okay, then. We have Mark who says you should stand your ground, and if that's not going to work, you may as well just roll yourself in honey and give in to the inevitable.
The honey inevitable, like way up on the points of creativity. But standing your ground is that, you know, that's one of the things. Mm. If you are to be approached by a bear, is to stand your ground, let them kind of notice, see you, and then let them go on their way.
Can I throw something out here from the 708?
Yes.
This simple and direct, and I think effective. Wear a Green Bay Packers uniform. The bear would not touch you.
He's a contestant number six.
I guess so.
So for number two, Bess, accuracy was, what do you give him?
Accuracy up there on the accuracy, probably a seven.
Seven, okay.
And then creativity?
Oh man, that's hard. You're
honey
gonna get attacked.
Dusting?
You're gonna get.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you're in honey, yes.
Yeah. Creativity. That's a hard one. I need some second opinion.
Well, hey, we're just here for the ties.
Because it was for the laughs, and because he made us laugh. I believe it was creative. I think it puts him in the middle.
Yeah.
Sevens.
Oh,
maybe a five. I think a five.
Five.
A five.
So he's got a five and a seven.
Yes. What was Susan's? Why did I forget what Susan's?
Sue was
number. Susan was high in a tree.
High in a tree.
Oh, put the knapsack high in a tree. Food high in a tree. So yeah. What do we have for that one?
I think that's really, really, really a good one.
On the accuracy.
Accuracy, yeah.
So what number would you give that?
I'd give her a 10.
A 10?
10.
Oh, okay. And then for creativity?
Oh, well, creativity, it's...
It's standard.
It's standard, but right. It's...
So a 2 for creative? What do you want to...
I mean, she did describe the knapsack.
She did describe
it,
yes.
She didn't say just your regular...
And she said creatures and bears, and yeah. Which is important.
She's big words.
All right.
Let's give her... Because it's in the realm of... being creative and doing what's right. I would give her a 5 or 6.
Okay, 6. We give her a 6.
5 or 6.
5 or 6.
5 and a half.
Doing a 5.5.
5.5.
Gotcha. All right, Susan, we'll do that. And then for Harold, so he would camp with a slowpoke, someone he can outrun.
Accuracy.
And and if all else fails, he would tie himself in his
knapsack.
In a knapsack in the tree.
Yes.
Oh, man, he's hitting creative points. I did say earlier that was a good way to not get attacked by a bear was to slowpoke it. You know,
so it works. Accuracy.
Would it also work to trip the other person? They might be faster than you.
Or
but
push.
Yeah, but accuracy of really avoiding it is probably not the best. You know, you don't want to run.
You don't want to run.
You don't want to run.
But you do. I mean, instinctually, you do want to run. You shouldn't run.
You kind of like just stand there for a little bit and you're like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And you kind of freak out for a little bit and then you usually can kind of like be a little better about it.
So what would you give for
accuracy? 2.
Okay. How about creativity?
I thought it was 6 or 7.
Okay.
It's funny.
That's 6.5.
Okay, 6.5.
Yeah, I got it.
It's all right. Ruth would camp near, had a lot of solutions, wrapping everything in foil and also camping near water and also foil the Chicago Bears.
Foil the Bears and the cub, the billy goat for the Cubs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she she foiled.
Just foil everything.
Foiling.
Yeah.
Accuracy, the shiny objects.
Objects may draw. I would say a 2 accuracy. On the accuracy.
Oh.
Creativity up there. 7.
7. Solid.
So she gets a 9. Okay. And then we had what was on the screen? Did you want to use the texter's answer as well?
Well, can we? Because it's
From the 708.
Yeah.
Wear a Green Bay Packers uniform.
Okay. So how many, what would that get?
0. And
accuracy?
Yeah.
Yeah, 0 accuracy.
Okay.
And then for creativity?
5.
Okay, we have 5.
We got a Packers fan.
So Sean has a grand total of 2. Mark has a grand total of 12. Susan has 15.5, which was the tree one. Harold has an 8.5. Ruth has 9. And our listener from the 708 has 4. So Susan is our winner for a pair of tickets to the Chicago Lyric Opera.
Well done, Susan. Yep. Well played.
And it's such a wonderful play, yes?
Yeah, best practices are to keep the camp clean, keep your food out of tents, store food appropriately, and travel in groups.
There you go.
Don't go camping.
No, go That's camping.
That's
the most
That's accurate. Why God made hotels.
Yes. No, you guys.
By the way, all of our listeners...
I would win
on
this contest.
I ask all of our listeners that hold on. Sorry, Michael, but we're going to get all your information. Susan wins the tickets to My Fair Lady, in addition to the pair of tickets to Zanies on Wells, my show on May 15th for the Funny Females. Everyone go see My Fair Lady at the Lyric Opera of Chicago. You can hear timeless favorites like I Could Have Danced All Night and I've Grown Accustomed to Her Face. You can get tickets at lyricopera.org. You notice how I didn't sing those. I Could Have Danced All Night. More after this on 720.